Our meditation today is just a few psalms over in Psalm 11. Please turn there with me. Psalm 11. This is dedicated to the chief musician. This is a psalm of David. That's the earthly writer. But again, as with all the psalms, it is ultimately a production of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 11. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Now, when did David write this? Once again, we have no idea. What was the occasion? No clue. It is given, though, and dedicated to the director of music or the chief musician, and so it is for use at the temple, or it was originally, tabernacle and temple. And therefore, it is of use for all the people of God at all times. And as Jesus said near the end of Luke's Gospel in chapter 44, verse 44, the Psalms speak of him. Psalm 11 is no different in that way. Now, David, at some occasion, is saying, and it's by God's grace, of course, in Jehovah I put my trust. Right? That very first phrase is the key to the entire psalm. In Jehovah I put my trust. And so he says, first of all, why are you trying to bug me? Why are you trying to bother me? Why are you trying to throw me off course with all these frightening notions? You know, you're saying to me, look, the case is hopeless. Be like a bird and fly away. Get up into the mountains. Head for the hills. There's no hope here. Look at all these wicked people around. There are lots of them, and they're heavily armed. They're going to kill you. They may do it outright. They may do it with a sniper shot. But they're going to be rid of you. You better run. And not only that, society's falling apart. The whole kingdom's going down the drain. Foundations are destroyed. What can the righteous do? There's no hope. David says, look, you know what? I don't trust in my own bow. I don't trust in the power of the godly. I don't trust in upright, outright friendships. I don't trust on foundations that may be to some degree be built on sand. My trust is in Jehovah. So that's what pushes him through in verses 4 through 7. The Lord is in his holy temple. He is there and he has not moved out. The Lord is in his holy temple, that place which has been established by him. The Lord is in his holy temple, that place which is a picture of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the covenant salvation of our God, and it is a picture of the stability and everlasting nature of the people of God. temple is still there. Jehovah is in its midst. It's not shaken. I won't be either. Further, the Lord's throne is in heaven. These earthly thrones and the power of these earthly enemies, they're only on earth. They only last for a little while. We see elsewhere in the Psalms, in Psalm 146, put no trust in princes. But ultimately, put no fear in princes. You can't depend upon their help. You needn't fear their fear. And not only that, God's not just far away, high and exalted, with nothing to do with us, but he's very near as well to the godly ones. His eyes behold and his eyelids test the sons of men. Are there difficulties? Are there problems? Yeah, you know, we've seen before in Psalm 34, verse 19, other places as well. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Got that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And so we see here, Jehovah tests the righteous. Right? He puts us through trial and difficulty and affliction. And he does it on purpose. Why? To build us stronger, to build us godlier, to build us more Christ-like, to fit us as living stones into his New Testament, the real temple. The wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. They may seem to triumph for a while, but God has destruction for them. What sort of destruction? Raining coals. Around Bell Center, I don't know where all of y'all are, but around Bell Center, it's getting kind of dry. We'd love to see some rain of rain. But imagine this. Burning hot coals, red hot coals raining down upon you. What a horrifying thought. That is the place of the wicked. Fire and brimstone, that's sulfur, burning sulfur, and a burning wind should be the portion of their cup. That's all they're going to get. They may seem to have the wine of luxury for a little while, but this other is what they have for the long term. How can we know this? Well, because God says so. Jehovah says so. The God of the covenant, who does not change in his gracious and holy purposes, he says so. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Now for the ungodly, it's a scary thought, and they're desperate, actually, to keep it out of their minds, to keep it away from their conscience. God is watching you. You know, for the wicked, they don't like to see security cameras and all that. And if they notice them where they're doing their bad things, children, they try to wreck them. They try to destroy them. But God's eye is upon them. And for the wicked, that's a scary thought. But for the godly, that's a wonderful thought. Your Father in heaven is watching. Watching you, watching over you. Keeping an eye on you to protect you and bless you. Now, all this is the case for David. All this is the case for the godly. All these wonderful promises here. And there is ground for David to trust because it ultimately points to Jesus Christ. He was told, "You better run. Herod is looking to get you." He was told even by his disciples when he purposed to go the last time to Jerusalem, "But Lord, they tried to kill you there." As in, what are you thinking? Don't go there. But we read that Jesus set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. He went steadily, not listening to those who would say these scary things to his soul, not fearing the armed might and power of Herod or of the Roman government. No, he feared none of these things. he pressed forward, not only trusting in God's promise, but being God's promise and being the one who secures all the promises for his people. Because Jesus trusted his Father. Because Jesus, Jehovah in the flesh, obeyed his Father. We have that obedience, we have that trust on our record if we be in Jesus Christ. And we have an even stronger assurance that Jehovah, our God, the one who changes not, keeps his covenant love upon us. And all the promises here are yes and amen for us in and through Jesus Christ.